What a blessing it is to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, but also to study His Word. And the reason why is because we want to learn more about Jehovah and learn more about what we have to do in order to be pleasing unto the Lord. And really, this life is about pleasing God. I'm reminded of what Jesus said Himself about His attitude toward His Father in John 8 and verse 29, that I'll always do those things that please Him. And that ought to be our aim. Our aim is to please Him. We do want to welcome our visitors. We're so thankful for you being here, and those who are mothers, we're thankful for you, and those who have maybe not bore children but have taken care of children, we're thankful for you as well. Reminded of what Solomon told his son Rehoboam, he said, listen to the law of your mother. And when we consider that, it's mothers that desire for their children to be approved, to be approved of God. And really, all of us should have a desire to be approved. You know, when we go and we fill out an application for a loan, we want to hear those words, approved. And really, we ought to seek to be approved of God. And really, that's what life is about, being approved of God. And so let's study a little bit concerning that particular idea on this morning. We are talking about fundamentals of the faith. Fundamentals of the faith. I want us to take a thought real quick from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17 through 19. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are factions or divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be divisions or factions among you, that those who are approved may be manifest or recognized among you. You know, as we consider these great passages, one thing that I am very sure of is that God wants His people to be unified. He wants His people to be one. And the reason why He wants us to be one is because the Godhead is one. We know that God is one according to Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 4, but God sent the Spirit in order for the apostles and the church to be one, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. But when considering this particular passage, there are so many mixed messages out in the world that we live in today. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to gather in some of that information, not checking it against the Word of God. God desires for all of us to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it is in this knowledge of the truth that we gather wisdom from the Word of God. Solomon would say it like this, in all thy getting, get an understanding. But wisdom is the principal thing, Proverbs 4 and verse number 7. So when we consider the topic that we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about a subtitle, Dokimos. It's D-O-K-I-M-O-S. It's the idea of just being approved. God wants us to be approved. Consider this. In the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know today. They didn't have paper money. All money was made from metal, heated until liquefied, poured into a mold and allowed to cool. When the coin was cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. The coins were comparatively soft, and of course, many people would shave them closely. The reason why is because they wanted to kind of cheat the system, if you will. In one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens to stop the practice of whittling down the coins then in circulation. But some money changers were men of integrity, listen to this part, who would accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine full weight money into circulation. Such men were called dokimos. Such men were called approved. And this word is used here for the Christian as he is seen by the world approved. You know, not only should the world see us as being people approved, but God should see us being approved. Let's take a little perusal through the New Testament and let's get some of the background of the book of Corinthians, and then we'll come back to this thought. In Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 17, we have the background of the book of Corinthians. It's roughly about 52 to about 53 in that area A.D., and Paul spends about a year and a half in Corinth, according to Acts chapter 18 and verse number 11. It is during this particular time that he was compelled in verse number 5 by the Spirit to testify to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. They opposed him. They blasphemed the Apostle Paul. Paul then leaves the Jews, and now he's going toward the Corinthians, if you will, toward Corinth. Here we see that the church at Corinth begins. We consider this even in our idea and what we're going to be talking about on this morning. We see that the church begins in verse 7. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. The church now begins here in Corinth. This is very interesting because we always want to know, when did the church begin in a certain location? Well, when we consider some of the background of the book of Corinth, they had many problems. They had great division among them. As a matter of fact, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go there real quick. You look at verse 10, and Paul said there that let there be no division among you. But we ought to be speaking the same things, being of the same mind and of the same judgment. Friends, we still should have this plea. We still should be a people who are seeking to be one when it comes to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We look at chapter 2, we understand verses 9 through 16, we see the source of revelation, the inspired word of God. And friends, I want us to always keep in mind that God's word is inspired, meaning that it's from God. It's inerrant, meaning that it's error-free. It's infallible, meaning that it is perfect. You can trust it. And the reason why you can trust God's word, because it is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, how can I know the will of God unless God tells me? And he brings this up, the Apostle Paul does, because we understand that the only way I can know what's in the mind of man, he or she must tell me. In chapter 3, we see in verses 5 and following, we see Paul as he attributes the glory to God, and he says there that I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. When we consider working in the Lord's church and working as people of God and striving to be approved unto God, we always know that it is because of God that we're doing what we're doing. In chapter 4 and chapter 5, we see the mystery of the cross or the mystery of the gospel. And those who are attempting to be people of God, who are peddling the gospel, if you will, preaching the gospel, we have to be a people who are approved of God. In chapter 5, there is division in the church because of sin. We have a man who has his father's wife. And the Apostle Paul said, you should have mourned because of this. You should not be gloating and proud of this. As a matter of fact, it's causing a division in the church. And you need to stop this. In chapter 6, they're suing one another. In chapter 7, there's some questions concerning marriage. And Paul answers those questions. And chapter 8, he's dealing with matters of the conscience and how the conscience and how we as brethren have to watch out for the conscience of our brethren, especially in matters of opinion. So we need to think about that. In chapter 9, he talks about how he, as an apostle, had a right to be paid by the congregation there. But remember what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in that area there, and how he had to rob the Macedonians, 2 Corinthians 8, to have to rob the Macedonians in order to even preach to them at Corinth. But in chapter 10, he says that Israel is an example. And then he comes to chapter 11, and he's getting on them because of their division. But there's something in this text that I want us to capitalize on, that I know all of us really want to be, and that's approved. Let's read those passages one more time with that background in mind. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together, meaning assembling one another as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be manifest, recognized. When we consider this great study, I want us to keep in mind that God desires for people to be approved. God doesn't desire division. We look at verse number 18. And look at verse 18 again. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Paul did not want the church to be divided. He didn't want to hear these things. As a matter of fact, he heard from the house of Chloe some of the problems that was going on there with the church. And then in verse number 19 here, he says, for there must also be heresies or factions. When you look at this word heresies, it's the idea of a group of people who have opinions. And in those opinions, they are making them law for the congregation, or for religion, or for the world as it relates to spiritual things. But here, more specifically in the context, he's talking to the church at Corinth. And what was taking place was, is that we had individuals that had opinions and they were superseding them over the word of God. Well, the apostle Paul says that this should not be. As a matter of fact, in Galatians 5 and verse number 20, Brother Brian, the Bible there teaches us that heresies, factions, is a work of the flesh. It is not that which is promoted by the Spirit of God and His teaching. When we consider 2 Peter 2 and verse number 1, we notice that heresies or factions are associated with false teachers. God never wanted false teachers to be the one that are in front of the people of God. This is why when we study the Word of God, we have to be very careful that we're rightly dividing the Word of truth. When we consider what we're talking about this whole month, talking about the fundamentals of the faith, it is the fundamentals of the faith that's going to keep us grounded. Friends, grounded. One thing I love about going from one state to another is hopping on a plane. But I love when that plane touches ground properly. Get it? Grounded. And I love it when they come on the intercom and they say, we have a problem with the aircraft, so therefore we're going to stay grounded until we get that problem fixed. I appreciate that. We ought to appreciate being grounded because that's where the stability is. Well, here we understand that there were heresies in the church there, and what was causing, it was causing division and causing them not to be grounded in the faith. But notice when we consider 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, go there real quick and let's make a quick point here. And the reason why I'm bringing this lesson this week, especially from this vantage point. I was very privileged to go to Focal Point this past week, and I was very privileged to hear some lessons. But there were some things that just were not right, if you will. There were some things that just were not foundational. Just some things that I just couldn't say, I can take that home and give it to the congregation. Brother Cheek prayed for Brother Brian and I on last week and said that they will learn something and bring it back to us and teach us those things. Well, this is one of the things that I need to teach us. That when we go places and we hear certain things, it doesn't matter who's saying it, check it with the Word of God. Check it with the Word. Why? Because our souls depend upon it. Jesus would say it like this in John 12 and verse number 47. He that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I have spoken, the same to judge him in the last day. Friends, our souls are important to God. And we ought to make sure that we stay with what thus saith the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, notice what Peter says there to those who are scattered. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in, here it is, Your version may say destructive heresies. Other versions may say damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on them swift destruction. Destructive? Damnable? Jesus would use this word in Matthew 7 and verse number 3 as he is talking about the broad way and how it leads to destruction. Destructive heresies, destructive opinions, which means that there can be some opinions that are not destructive, right? So when we consider this, friends, we want to make sure that whatever we're reading and whatever we're taking in and whatever we're imbibing and whatever we're eating spiritually, that we can make sure that it's backed up with the Word of God. And then with it being backed up with the Word of God, it will not be heresy because it would come directly from the Word of God. Jesus will use this word in John 17 in verse number 12 as it relates to Judas being the son of perdition, the son of destruction. Now that's a powerful word that Paul is using, that Jesus is using. And Paul would use that word again in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 9 as you can go and look at that. But go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and look at verse number 19 concerning the word approved. Now, I love this word. I love this study. It was so encouraging to me because it actually teaches us that as Christians, we can be approved by God, that we can be faithful to God, that I can go to the Word of God, Brother Payton, and come to the conclusion that God wants me to come to. Isn't that beautiful? If I can read a newspaper, if I can read a magazine, if I can read an article, if I can read a blog and come to a conclusion, I ought to be able to read from the one who is clearer than anybody, and that's Jehovah. And come to the conclusion and apply it to my life and be the person of God, be the husband that I need to be, the mother that I need to be, the child that I need to be, the preacher that I need to be, the elder that I need to be, the deacon that I need to be, the member that I need to be pleasing to God. So look at this word again in verse number 19. For there must be factions among you, that those who are dokimos, there's our word, approved. The Apostle Paul, it's like he just got happy with this word. He always used this word, dokimos. He was so happy to use this word. It's a powerful Greek word. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse number 15. When we consider the Corinthians and how those who are approved may be revealed, the idea there is strong when that which is not approved is among those that are approved. Those who are approved are going to be manifested. The cream is going to rise to the top. You know, the doctrine of Christ, when it is properly understood and properly interpreted, is always going to rise to the top. Truth will always crush the world, the earth. Look at 2 Timothy 2 in verse number 15. Notice what your Bible says. Study, the King James Version says. Be diligent, the New King James Version says, to show yourself, there's our word, dokimos, approved unto God. There's nothing like being approved to our coach. Nothing like being approved unto our boss, our employer. There's nothing like that. We love it when people pat us on the back. Isn't it beautiful when God pats you on the back spiritually? When God says, that's my son. But then notice what he says. Study, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. It didn't say unto man. It says unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. A laborer that needed not to be ashamed. Here it is. Rightly dividing. Cutting straight the word of truth. Why is this so important to us today? Because we are a tried people. We are an approved people. I'm glad you're here this morning because you want to be approved by God. You want to hear what thus saith the Lord. Why? It's going to make you a better mother, a better father, better parents together, working together and feeding your children the Word of God so they can be approved and manifested and that people can see Christ living in them, the hope of glory. But then notice James 1 and look at verse number 12. And James uses this particular word as well, but it's translated tried. Notice James chapter 1 and verse number 12. Not only were the Corinthians able to be approved, that those who are approved may be manifested, But when we go through trials in life, now think about this. Think about this as it relates to what we go through as Christians, standing up for the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10 and following. Standing up for the truth as it relates to moral living and how we desire our children to be people of morality, people of honor and dignity and integrity, and doing that which is right because it's right to do what is right. I remember a long time ago growing up, mom and old dad would always tell me, hey, you do what's right regardless of who's watching or not. Why? Because that's what God desires. In James 1 and verse number 12, notice what your Bible says. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is, here's our word, dokamas, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Hold on. James, what are you teaching? That when I am approved, when I go through my trial, my temptation, and I go through it mastering it, meaning that I submit to God's will and not my own, there's a crown of life that's going to be given to me. That only makes sense. Why would an employer give you a raise if you're not showing up to work on time? Oh, I'm coming down your street right now. Why would someone leave you an inheritance if you don't keep the tenets of the inheritance? Why? They wouldn't. It's the same for God. If temptation is continuing to come my way, this is a fundamental. If temptation and trials are continuing to come my way, yet I don't pass them. And I got to get to a point where I pass the temptation, where I pass the trial, where I rely upon the word of God, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13, for I understand that God is going to make a way of escape for me. I ought to be able to live a life approved of God. And friends, it is possible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul would use this word again to the brethren at Corinth. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and notice this, friends. When we consider this word dokamas, Brian, this word dokamas is not according to my standard, but according to the standard of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse number 17, notice what Paul says. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Well, hold on. Hold on. If I go about establishing my own righteousness, Romans chapter 10 verses 1 and 2, if I go about leaning to my own understanding, Proverbs 3 verses 3 through 5, friends, I can commend myself all the time. But if I go according to the word of God, unlike the Corinthians who were doing their own thing, and Paul had to say, there must be heresies among you. There's divisions among you. There's opinions among you. And Paul said, no, this should not be. If I'm going to commend myself, I'm going to commend myself because the Lord has given me his will and I read his will. Therefore, the Lord is commending me and not me myself. I walk according to the word of God. Look at Romans 14, verses 14 through 18. In Romans 14, 14 through 18, we understand in matters of judgment, friends, there is an approval. In Romans chapter 14, starting at verse number 14, Paul says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteem anything to be unclean, it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with meat, with food, walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him because of food, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, here's our word, is acceptable or approved to God and approved of men. It's used twice there. Hold on. When I am watching out for the conscience of my brother, oh, my brother is going to say, you're a good man. You're a godly man. You're an approved man. But also God is going to look at you and say, that's my son. That's my daughter. And they care about their brother and sister in Christ. it is possible for us to be recognized, approved by God. Don't you want to be recognized? You know, that's a fundamental in Christianity. But we can come together and we should. We sing and we pray and we take the Lord's Supper. But we have to make sure that we're approved when we come here. We have to make sure that we are people that God says, that's my son and that's my daughter and they're faithful to me. That's a fundamental. Look at the word recognize in chapter 11 again, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19. Let's finish this off because this is what it's about right here. That those who are approved may be manifest or recognized among you. Let's see how Jesus uses this word manifest or recognized. I think you'll appreciate this. I did. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 4, 6, and 18. Matthew chapter 6, 4, 6, and 18. I believe you'll appreciate this point if you haven't appreciated no other point. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking on his Sermon on the Mountainside, and the theme, if you will, is righteousness. In verse number 4, Jesus, as he is talking about almsgiving, he said that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret himself shall reward thee, there's our word, openly. Hold on. When I am doing the will of God and I help somebody else, and I don't go about telling everybody what I did to help somebody else, God says, I'm going to reward you openly. Who wouldn't want to be blessed that way? Drop down to verse number 6. But you, when you pray, go into your closet. And when you have shut the door, friends, this is powerful. Pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees you in secret, shall reward you, here's your word, openly. Drop down to verse number 18. And notice what your Bible says concerning fasting. That you appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you. There's our word again, openly. Here's the point. Can you imagine your relationship with the Father and the things that you do with him secretly, the praying and the good deeds and the fasting? And God says, that's my son. And what I'm going to do, because you're my son, I'm going to manifest you. I'm going to reveal you. Oh, friends, when we consider this great word, God wants us to be manifested because we have done his will and we're doing his will. Question, are we holding fast to sound doctrine? You can tell what a preacher is preaching. You could tell, I'm sorry, what a preacher is studying because it's going to come out in his preaching. Think about that. I can tell, now, friends, I say this in love. I can tell when gospel preachers are eating on denominational material. I can tell because they're feeding it to the congregation. The last thing you want to do, Chad, is feed those beautiful babies of yours any type of rat poison. It's 99.98% clean. It's that little bit that kills the rat every single time. Friends, I'm saying this in love. Heresy is that which drives a person away from God. And there are some heresies in the Lord's church today. Mothers, what a great opportunity for mothers to be with your children today. Teach your children what thus saith the Lord and what thus saith the Lord only. Teach them what God says. And when they learn what God says, then they may be able to read some other things because they're able to divide and discern right from wrong. Be careful what you imbibe. Be careful what you read, because that which we read, we're going to apply. And that which we apply is that what we're going to act out. and that which we act out is what God sees also. You should expect Brother Bonner to preach nothing but the Word of God. That's it. Why? Because that's what's going to judge us in the last day. There's not a denominational book out there that's going to judge me on the last day. The Word of God is going to judge me in the last day. So friends, let me give you a few real quick and I'll let you go. That's out there. In our brotherhood. And it's my responsibility as gospel preacher to do this. You know, there's some brothers now teaching that the earth is not going to be destroyed according to 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn your Bibles there. Oh yes, it's time to expose false doctrine. And when we stop there, when we stop and consider this, parents, mothers, fathers, our responsibility is that when our children come home with some faulty thinking, oh, we're sitting at the dinner table eating that steak and lobster and shrimp. y'all laugh about that one. It's probably going to be some soup or something, but it's all good. but you're sitting there, how was your day, baby? How things go? Well, you know, the teacher was talking about such and such and such and such today, and it sounds real good. Well, where did they get it from, baby? Blah, 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 and this and that. Well, let's turn to the Bible. Let's see what God has to say about that young man. Right? Friends, we got to get that seed out of their mind fast because we want our children to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Those are the words we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting verse number 9, notice what your Bible says, friends. Y'all give me a couple minutes, but we got to make this point. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. Now notice this, friends, with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, the Holy Spirit, Brother Payton, through Peter, either meant that or he didn't mean that. But we got brothers that are saying that, well, this burning up here is really going to be like a renovation. It's going to purify the earth. But somebody's lying. You heard what the Bible says? You heard what I said that he said? Those are two different things. Notice verse number 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation or lifestyle and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwell. Friends, it sounds like there's going to be a new home. There's going to be a new place. It's not going to be like this place down here. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 21. Matter of fact, look at Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and then we're going to go to Revelation 21. This is the only point I want to make, friends. Friends, there are heresies among us. But those who are preaching the truth, whether it's on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, whether it's on the Holy Spirit, whether it's on the oneness of the church, whether it's on the organizational structure of the church, whether it's on Christian living. Friends, we have to make sure that we demand the preacher preach us the word. We demand it. We're not asking you. The elders are not asking me, hey, if you get around to it, preach the word. No, you preach the word or you get gone. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow. I told the church last time, I said, you know what? If I start preaching false doctrine, I'm going to fire myself. I'm going to beat the elders to it. Look at Revelation 20. Let me let y'all go. Y'all looking funny. Verse number 11. Here's the judgment scene. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Does that sound like a renovated earth to you? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Death and hell, that's Hades. You can go to Luke 16 on this. And there's some brothers teaching some crazy stuff on that too. Delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Hades is the place where disembodied spirits go, friends. Luke 16, that's a waiting place for the dead. And he says it's going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is Gehenna. That's the second death. So we understand that as well. Notice verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 1. Look, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why, John? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Hold on. Either Jesus told us the truth or he didn't. There must be heresies among us. Opinions. There's people that are teaching all types of things. And friends, if you're not careful, you'll read some of these books that will teach you how to rear your children. And I heard just the other day, I was at where was I? I can't remember. I was somewhere. And they said, I heard these parents say, well, you know what? Kids don't come with a manual. I said, they haven't read the Bible. Why would God give us children, Psalm 127, and not give us a manual? We have a manual. Peyton, you about to get married and have some babies. Here's your manual. Y'all looking funny. Right? You have a manual. It's the Bible. Why would God give us such precious, precious possessions in babies and not give us something to guide them with? Let's finish this. I'm going to let you go. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. We're going to stop there. You read the rest of it, but here's the point. We got brothers that are saying, we got people that are saying, we've got books that are saying that God is not going to destroy this earth that we're living on today. But the Bible says something different. Question. Who do we listen to? Do we listen to God and his ambassadors, which are the apostles, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20? Or do we listen to man? When it comes to those beautiful babies that y'all got in this world, that the Lord has blessed you with, give them this book. There are opinions out there, but they don't override the book. This is all we need right here. People would say God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge. This is all we need right here. I want us to think about that. There are heresies, even amongst the Lord's people. And friends, sometimes there's heresies even in our own homes. We got to go to the book. We have to go to the Bible. And we got to stay with this book. And I guarantee you, I promise you that if you stay with the book, you'll hear well done. I promise you. Because you cannot not stay with this and not get to heaven. Yeah, it is. This is right. And God is always right. And God's people always lift up the book. They always lift up the word. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to be a child of God so bad that the book teaches us that hearing, believing, repentance, and baptism will put you in Christ. That's what the book says. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus said that. It's the same one that wants to say, well done. He's the one to say you need to believe the gospel. It's the good news, the glad tidings, the cross of Christ. All of that. Do you believe that? Be willing to repent of your sins. Be willing to confess Christ. Be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his son's church. Or maybe you're a child of God and you've been listening to the opinions of men. Johnny Ramsey said one time, he said, a lot of people go to commentaries to shed light on the Bible, but you ought to go to the Bible to shed light on the commentaries. That's good stuff right there, boy. That's good stuff. Yeah. Go to the Bible. If anybody can tell you what is right and what is truth, it's Jehovah himself. I am the way, the truth, the life. God is truth. Do you love God? I know you do because you're here. As we stand, as we sing, the Savior's invitation.